All right, Bible scholars, let's get the Bible open. Going back to the last book in the New Testament, the book of Revelation. I'm thankful for all 66 books of the Word of God. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, right on through Malachi. Of the Old Testament, 39 books in the Old. And I'm thankful for all 27 in the New. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, right on through Revelation. And Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, taught us that we need to rightly divide the Word of God. Some people don't even know the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Seventh-day Adventists, the Sabbatarians, the ones that want to hold on to the old law, Paul had to fight that. They had to fight that in the days of the early church. And now the Seventh-day Adventists, the Sabbatarians, the ones that want to hold us to the old Mosaic law, including the Sabbath, they don't realize that the old law, Sabbath, and all, it was all nailed to the cross of Christ. We can only be under one will at a time, and that was the old will. We're under the new will. The old will and all of its commandments, that was sealed by the blood of bulls and goats. But the Bible says it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away the sins of the world. It's only the blood of Jesus that can take away sins. And we learn about the blood of Jesus in the New Testament. And so we go through the Bible. We have the Old Testament, which was for the Jews, but it was a book that gave us a foundation for understanding the New. But in the New, we have the sum total of what we have to do. We do not have the responsibility to obey the commandments of the Old Testament. Now, the Ten Commandments were brought over into the New Testament, all except the Sabbath. The Bible says the Jews were to keep the Sabbath. Only the Jews were ordered to keep the Sabbath. Let me say that again. Only the Jews were ordered to keep the Sabbath, and they did it because they were delivered by God out of Egyptian bondage. And we've been delivered by Jesus out of the bondage of sin. He arose on the first day of the week. I received a call some time ago on the telephone after one of the broadcasts. Someone was confused about the Sabbath day, and I tried to tell him that that referred to the old law, had to do with the Jews. We weren't under the Sabbath, and they're trying to teach him that Sunday worship is the mark of the beast, and that Constantine, the Roman emperor, is the one that established Sunday worship. Well, that is totally, totally a fabrication. It is untrue. He had his people keep the first day of the week because the disciples from day one had been meeting on the first day of the week. Read Acts chapter 20, verse 7, on the first day of the week. It teaches that the disciples came together to break bread. And so we better be thinking about following the ordinances of God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16 that they were to bring an offering on the first day of the week. And so the first day of the week, Jesus overcame death. He came out of the grave, and so we're not under the old Sabbath laws anymore. If you're in some kind of a study where somebody is confusing you about the Sabbath and trying to tell you all kinds of way out and left things about the Sabbath, get out of that study. Get into the Word of God yourself. And don't depend on all of these tapes and videos and so forth and all of these pamphlets and all of these magazines. Friends, I'm not trying to get you to subscribe to a magazine or a tape or a video. All I'm trying to get you to do with your blinders off, take off your Protestant blinders, take off your Catholic blinders, take off your Jewish blinders, and just take the Bible and the Bible only, and it'll be amazing what you're going to find out. What you'll find out, it'll be amazing to you what you'll learn if just with an open mind you'll study the Bible. We mentioned here 2 or 3 weeks ago that we wanted to use a couple of indirect references to baptism and salvation that we find over in the book of Revelation. And I want to go to the 7th chapter of the book of Revelation. Beginning with verse 4, the Bible teaches that a huge number of people were seen that were sealed. Evidently, John saw some people that had been saved through Jesus Christ, and there were numbers given here, a round number for 12,000 being saved out of each one of the tribes of Israel. Look at verse 4. It said 12,000 tribes from the tribe of Judah. This is verse 5. Then 12,000 out of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 out of the tribe of Gad, a round number indicating that souls were saved. Most of them rejected Christ. They rejected Him, but there were many, there were thousands that obeyed the gospel and were saved out of the Jewish nation. And, my friends, we have respect for the Jewish nation. From them came the law. We received the old Mosaic law through them. Christ was a Jew. He came as the Messiah. And so we have a respect for the Jewish nation. But they have to turn to Christ just like we do. They have to turn to their Messiah. Many of them crucified their own Messiah. And now we have the Messiah that was designed, first of all, for them. And, of course, then for us. It's interesting that the Jehovah's Witnesses were teaching many years ago, pretty much, that there were going to be 144,000 saved. And then they found this passage of Scripture where there was a great multitude which no man could number. And then they got over 144,000 in their little denomination, and they had to revise their doctrine. Friends, we're not in the business of revising anything in order to fit anything. There's a lot of people that have to revise the Bible to fit their doctrine. The Baptists have to revise the Bible when it talks about baptism for the remission of sins. They have to revise it to fit their doctrine. The Methodists have to revise it. When they read where the Bible says we're buried in baptism, they went down into the water, and they sprinkled babies, well, the Methodists have to revise that in order to fit their doctrine. Well, I hope that I love the Lord enough that I'm not going to revise anything that I want to get into the Word of God. We might be surprised at what we see, but we do not want to revise the Bible, alter the Bible, change the Bible to suit us. We must change us to suit the Bible. In verse 9, Revelation 7, after this, behold, a great multitude which no man could number. John saw a magnificent scene here in heaven. He saw a multitude which no man could number. He had just seen 12,000 times 12, 144,000, 12,000 sealed, or evidently a round number of those saved among the Jewish nations. Now he sees a great multitude of all nations and kindreds and tongues and people. And they stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, palms in their hands. They were standing in victory in the presence of God, but I want you to realize that someday you're going to stand in judgment before God. You're going to stand before God to be judged. You'll be judged for scratching off those lottery tickets. You'll be judged for your Las Vegas gambling. You'll be judged for the Budweiser that has come out of your refrigerator, gone into your system and out of your system. You'll be judged for your profanity. I remember where Jesus said, in the book of Matthew, chapter 16, the people were confused about the identity of Jesus. Some thought he was John the Baptist, and some thought he was Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" And I was thinking, there's a good sermon there. Just preach the sermon entitled, "Who do you say that I am?" Friend, who do you say Jesus is? Is he nothing more than a curse word for you? There are some of you out there, no doubt, many of you out there, that the only time you mention Jesus is when you mention Jesus Christ in profanity. What does Jesus mean to you? Is he nothing more than a slang word of profanity? You better decide what Jesus means to you. Better make him as your Savior by obeying the gospel. Well, back here now to these that were saved, that had obeyed the gospel. John saw a great multitude which no man could number. The Bible says they were clothed in white robes and palms in their hands, symbolic of purity and righteousness. Do you have on the white robe of purity, or are you wearing the dingy gray word of profanity and gambling and alcohol and filthiness? Someone said, "I never heard preaching like that." My friends, we have a lot of these little lollygob, pink pantyhose wearing, capitulating, compromising preachers tippy-toeing down the road for the salary to promote denominational doctrine. We better get some hellfire and brimstone preachers in our pulpits telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And we need to get the truth out if we have to go out on the canal bank to get it out. All right, John saw this great multitude clothed in white robes, and here's what the Bible says in verse 10, "And cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and to the Lamb." You know what this broadcast is doing? It's crying, "Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and to the Lamb." That's our preaching. Glory to God. Glory to Christ that is on the throne. Glory to the Lamb. Praise unto Him. And may God have mercy on us, forgive us of our sins, and prepare us for that day that is around the corner when we're going to stand before Him. In verse 11, the Bible says, and hold right on here, we're going to get to where I wanted to get to here in just a few moments. In Revelation 7:11, the Bible says, "And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God." Jesus was not a created angel, like the Jehovah's Witnesses say. That is one of the most dastardly false doctrines that's ever been perpetrated or presented to the human race, that Jesus was a mere angel or that He was a God. They have even changed their translation to say, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was a God." Friends, Jesus was not a God. He was the God that created the sun and the moon and the stars, and He'll judge anyone that says He's a God or an angel. He's not an angel. He created the angels. We better get serious about Bible doctrine. We better get ourselves into the Word of God. We better turn on the television only when it's time for news time or something that's worthwhile, and then turn it off. And get our Bibles out, get our understanding into the Bible, get our noses into the Bible, and learn the truth. Some of you out there are too ignorant about the Bible to come in out of the rain. You don't know beans about the Bible. Your kids, oh boy, they can snap their fingers to the latest rock tunes. And they can go up and down flaunting the latest designer jeans and clothes, but they don't know persimmons from peaches when it comes to the Bible. "And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God." Bible friends, did you ever fall on your face to worship God? Try it. Try it. Try it sometime. Get out in the woods and think about God's creation. No one is looking at you. Nobody there but the birds and the bees. And you fall on your face before God and praise the God that created you and had mercy on your soul and has given you the years which He's given you. I'm telling you, what's called Christianity in America today is a sham and a show. They say you can be a Christian and drink. They say you can be a Christian and chew and smoke. They say you can be a Christian and scratch off lottery tickets. They say that you can do anything as long as you put your money in the plate. Well, friends, you can put your money in the plate and still go to hell if you're not living for and serving the Lord. Now, the Bible says that these elders and these creatures fell before the throne on their faces. Try that. Do it. Worship God. The wise men fell on their faces and worship God. Are you too proud to fall on your face and worship God? If you are, forget heaven. Verse 12, here's what they said. "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen." Friends, this is in my little portable studio, this is almost too exciting to be able to stand to listen to this. Here's what these creatures said. Here's what these angels said. "Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever." Well, I didn't get down to the verse I wanted to get to, so we'll have to come back next week. But friend, bow before Christ. Start out by repenting of your sins, turning from your sins, and being baptized to let your sins be washed away by the blood, and you arise from that watery grave, and you get yourself on the Lord's day to the Lord's table to be with the saints to remember the body and the blood of Jesus, the blood that saved you from your sins. Well, it's time for the control master to get over to the control board. We're going to close. Let's have a prayer. Father, thank you for the gospel. Thank you for its power. Thank you for the privilege of worshiping you, and I pray that people will turn to thee and obey the gospel and be saved through Christ. Amen.